Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach them how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on your history alone. I do not have to see people in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call if you have any questions. The toll-free number is 877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714. It is fine if you only use your first name and all shows are archived. Every week I will be answering the question, what is ailing America, with a different response, as well as the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. On tonight's show, I'm very excited to be answering the question, what's ailing America, with the answer, pesticides. And I have a very special guest who's going to be speaking to me tonight. His name is Steve Tweeden, and Steve's on the line. And Steve, if you could please introduce yourself and tell our listeners how you got into this business of looking into the dangers of pesticides.
In a few words, huh?
Well, Dr. Carly, any words to take, go for it.
I was in standard or normal pest control for a few years, and I had been using techniques called sterile techniques, which I learned in hospitals and in medicine, so that I didn't get contaminated. And the pest control industry came after me and said, people will think we're using something toxic if you keep wearing masks and gloves. So I took them off, and all of a sudden I found myself unable to count change. I couldn't count two quarters, a dime, a nickel, a penny, and come up with 66 cents. I couldn't do it to save my soul. And I was told I had a few months to live. And I was told to get my affairs in order. By this point, I'd lost a son, I'd lost an uncle, I'd lost a lot of friends. And a lot of people that I was with were sick. And I went to my family, which is full of medical doctors, and an osteopathic doctors. And I said to them, could it be that the pesticides are making me sick? No one else in my family was trying to follow the health regime I was doing, but they were well, and I'm dying. So they said, no, the government wouldn't sell anything that was bad. As my research began to continue on my own, I found out that, in fact, pesticides were not created to kill pests. They were created basically to kill people. Mm-hmm. There was the IG Farben company working in combination with a little man with a funny mustache called Hitler, who designed Sarin and Tabin, which he wanted to use to go through mustard gas masks and kill people in Auschwitz and elsewhere and in the war. So he came up with a nerve gas. In addition to the nerve gases that I was handling cyclothionine chlorinated hydrocarbons, chlordane, DDT, these things. And the combination was filling my tank. I became intoxicated, but not with something I could sober up with. If you and I went out and had a couple of drinks, tomorrow morning we'd be sober. But if you and I go out and we eat food and we drink water and we touch things and just breathe, we accumulate toxins that don't pass through, and so that we become intoxicated. When I found that out, I worked to get chlordane banned, and I found a way to detoxify myself. It took me a little over four and a half weeks using L. Ron Hubbard's methodology, not his theology, but his methodology of saunas, which you go in 45 minutes and then 15 minutes out to cool the brainstem, taking numerous things, including niacin and calcium and magnesium and many other minerals and vitamins. And after four and a half weeks of this, I was hollering at the top of my lungs, Baruch Hashem Adonai, which in Hebrew means praise the name of the Lord. And I had got my entire memory back, my ability to do the multiplication table. He'd restored my soul. And at this point, I no longer was a victim. I was a survivor. And I had then become an advocate. And since that point, I've come up with 2,800 alternatives that are safer, far more effective, and less expensive than any pesticide on the market today.
Yes, and I want you to go into that, but before you do, I want to just ask you, isn't it true that pesticides are greatly stored in the fat cells of the body?
Well, they're in the adipose tissue, the fat cells. They also leak out into the blood, so that when you do if you take a blood test, a test for contaminants, you don't really need the adipose tissue as much as the blood is constantly showing you the contaminant level. And we're all contaminated. There isn't anyone that's listening to me that doesn't have pesticides in their fat and their blood, and the fat would include their brain.
Yes, yes.
And their organs.
I've moved recently, and I haven't been able to uncover the document that somebody sent me, but I actually came across a scientific study which suggested that pesticides also help to cause demyelination of the brain and nervous system. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And well, you have to remember, these things are created to kill. They're not health food.
Exactly. Exactly. And, of course, we're all being sprayed with pesticides. They're constantly going after these dangerous little mosquitoes, and I jokingly always ask my clients, since they're telling us to get rid of the standing water and so that we will not be breeding any mosquitoes in our environment because those dangerous mosquitoes have all these viruses in us, what happens when you take the viruses and put them in a bottle and call them a vaccine? What magic transpires that makes that a good thing? But, of course, they're using the excuse of the mosquitoes to spray us with pesticides. And I have many videotapes from various news programs showing children actually riding their bicycles, chasing these trucks as they're being hosed down with the pesticides. It's unbelievable. And, of course, it's the same mantra that you described when your employer told you not to wear those dangerous, or not to wear those different garments to scare the people that you were dealing with dangerous equipment. And I found this to be the case over and over again, that people that work for pesticide companies are maybe not told not to use them because if they don't think of it on themselves, they're not going to use it. But I just wonder how many people that work for these various companies are being damaged by these pesticides that are applying them all the time. And they're never...
Well, they don't last long, Dr. Carley. They don't last long on the job.
Exactly. And let me also ask you, what kind of testing can be done to find pesticides in the blood? Because I know of many people who have gotten sick from pesticides, especially when they're applied directly in their home. I even have one client, a couple that specifically asked the question, shouldn't we leave while you're spraying the pesticides, and the person applying them said, oh, no, no, it's not dangerous. They both got deathly ill from that, but they were not able to find anybody to do any kind of testing. Are you aware of any lab that does any kind of testing to specifically test for these poisons?
You know, if people have a need for a lab, I do know some toxicologists that I can refer people to, and they can get a hold of me at my website, which is www.thebestcontrol2.com. If they get on that website, thebestcontrol2, not T-W-O or T-O-O, if they get on thebestcontrol2.com, they'll find everything they need to control every pest they'll ever run into. There's about a 2,000-page document there that has URLs with it that makes it like, oh, maybe 120,000 pages. That's the most thorough thing there is on the market, but there's a way of getting a hold of me from there. And if they say I need to find out what toxin I was exposed to, I mean, what you have to find a doctor who has done blood tests and has learned to read them properly, because not everybody, you know, if you're pregnant, you don't go to a podiatrist, you go to, you know, OBGYN, and there are people who are involved in multiple chemical sensitivity and in toxins. There are doctors like you who are there, who are aware of what I'm talking about. The biggest thing that I would caution your listening audience is not to get exposed. There's no need, there's no reason on earth for you ever to use pesticides, because it's like right now I have a magazine in front of me, and it was funny. I just opened it up waiting for your call. And it's Pest Control Magazine, May 2007. And on page 20, we have the rise, which represents all the poison manufacturers. And it basically says, responsible industry for a sound environment. It sounds so wonderfully green. It's greener than most Sierra Club names and things. Responsible industry for a sound environment. Teaming up with the National Pest Management Association to prove that we need, they want us to all to stand as applicators of poison, to stand and say we need it. We need this to protect the public from these dangerous pests like rats and mosquitoes and the rest of it. But the truth is, Dr. Carley, that doesn't work. We have used pesticides, the only tool we've ever used to control pests since World War II, and the advent of pesticides. We've only used them. We haven't used any common sense. You mentioned in your beginning statement, you pray that everybody gets some common sense. It's just not too common anymore to have common sense. And if people realize there are simple ways to get rid of things, like my mother taught me when I was about 5 or 6 years old, she taught me what I now call intelligent pest management. She said, Stephen, if you shut the door, you won't let in the flies.
Wait, before you get into that, because you have some real great stories. I had interviewed Steve a few years ago for my public access television show in Long Island. We did 2 editions, and it was unbelievable, the information that he has. But before he gets into that, I just want to underline his website, because it's confusing to some people. It's not the pest control. It's best, B as in boy, thebestcontrol2.com. And I highly recommend all of you go to that website. As a gift to people of the earth, he has, as he said, actually listed different bugs and how you can control them. And it's very important for you to learn about these natural techniques, because, of course, what people have to realize, just like the medical mafia will go out of business if people actually heal themselves of disease, in fact, the pest control business will go out of business if there's not a never-ending stream of pests. And in fact, as it turns out, the pesticides are very similar to antibiotics in that, yes, they may kill some of the bugs, but the rest of them are going to learn how to, you know, live on this stuff and thrive on this stuff, and you're creating super pests just like you create super bugs in your body when you take antibiotics. I also just want to mention that I wasn't implying that people need blood tests. There's actually homeopathic remedies that can detox pesticides as well. But many people want that documentation for various reasons, especially if they've been sprayed by, you know, somebody coming into their home and telling them it was safe and they get deathly ill, believing that they can go to court and file a lawsuit. Well, I don't recommend that necessarily as well either, because the courts are also just as corrupt as everything else in the world today. But if it's important to you to get that validation, then please do contact Steve, and he has all those connections. And it's something that's very important for people to realize how much they're being sprayed. One thing I remember that you talked about on our show when you came to Long Island was the fact that schools are being sprayed on an average of once a month. And if you can tell that story, I believe it was in Michigan, someplace you were called in where children were having all kinds of problems, and what happened when you brought your natural things.
Well, I want to tell you some of the good news that's taking place, but I want to get to that, but I forgot to mention that Rise made a very interesting comment. They said the anti-pesticide activist groups have been shut out of the federal policymaking until the election of the 110th Congress last November. Now, since that point, we've got people now that are willing to listen to the environment, global warming, and some of these, to think about Codex and some other things that you and I and others are concerned about. All right. I had a school where they were spraying for ants. They had three different companies come spray for ants once a month for about 13 years, and they still had the ants. And I told the guy, I said, you know, I think maybe about the 10th year I would begin to think it's not working. And he said, you're trying to make me angry? I said, I'm trying to make you think.
Right.
I said, if you took your car in and you said you wanted to have the thing fixed because it veered to the left, and you took it in on a weekly or monthly basis, how long would you do that before you'd realize you got to better get a different mechanic? And he just looked at me, and I said, do you want to get rid of those ants in the classroom? And he said, yeah. So I went over there, and there are many things that can stop ants. Aspartame, little packs of Equal will stop ants, mixed in fruit juice. Chalk will stop ants. Vaseline will stop ants. And I just literally came in with a can of baby powder, talcum powder. And I lightly sprinkle it. And the ants were gone. And he looked at me and he said, why does that work? And I said, I've tried to explain this to entomologists. An insect breathes through little holes on his side called spiracles. And when you put dust down, they clog those spiracles and they suffocate, just like I would put a plastic bag over someone's head. They can't survive. And so that every single pest has a weakness. And if we work on that weakness, we can stop them. For example, cockroaches can't see a red light. So if you go into a room that has infested itself or has an infestation of cockroaches, don't ever try to kill them, because, like in New York, more kids are dying from asthma there than any other city in the United States, and it's because they're killing the cockroaches, and then a couple months later, people have to breathe the dead cockroaches, which are the allergens which cause the attack of asthma. Now, if you go into a room 1 hour after dark with a red light, just the red light, no other light, they can't see that light spectrum, so you can vacuum them up. You can either vacuum with a dry vac with a little powder in it, or you can do a rinse and vac with some soapy water. And you'll take out 90% this night, and you'll do basically a house in an hour, apartment, maybe in a half hour. And then if you go back next week, you'll take 6%, and the week after 4%, and you basically removed all the cockroaches from that thing, and you have done nothing. It cost you no money. It cost you no contamination. You don't have cockroaches. You don't have pesticides. But the problem is that pest control guys don't like me saying that because there's no money involved.
Steve,
so that most things that I know,
Steve,
work. Yeah.
Steve, you're breaking up. Are you on a cell phone?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not on a cell phone.
Okay, now you sound fine. Can you just go back a little bit for what you were saying? Because you were breaking up for like the last...
Okay. Where are you letting me start from? With the red light?
The red light, you vacuum up the cockroaches.
Right.
Okay.
Use the red light 1 hour after dark, and you can vacuum up cockroaches. You'll take 90% tonight. You take 6% next week and 4% the week after. So in 2 weeks, you have no cockroaches. It's cost you no money. And you won't have to breathe any cockroach allergens. You won't have to breathe any pesticides. And you won't have to pay a dime. Now, every single thing that I know is that simple. Everything is simple.
I remember you talking on our show that we did before about how wonderful plain dish soap is. If you could go into that, and especially when you combine it with peppermint oil. And I know
you take dish soap and you take just a tablespoon of dish soap, a teaspoon of any vegetable oil, and a few drops of peppermint oil, and there's not a bug or arachnid that can survive it, basically. So it's the best pesticide you're ever going to have.
And you have.
But there are many things you can do. I mean, it's like, you know, that's why there's 2,800 alternatives.
Yes. And you also sell some excellent products on your website, natural products for that purpose as well, correct?
Right. We have a lice treatment that removes the lice and nits in 5 minutes. But, you know, remember something, Dr. Carley. You and I have talked. I'm not interested primarily in money. If I was, I'd only be pushing that. On my chapter on lice, I tell people you use salt water, you can kill lice.
Dr. Carley, I have a question.
Sure.
As far as detoxifying both from pesticides and vaccine damage, how crucial is it for the majority of people to change their diet and eat more vegetables and fruits? And
well, obviously you are what you eat, and so a good healthy diet is key. But I will underline that organic is so important because, of course, organic food is supposed to not have pesticides, although they're constantly changing the requirements to be labeled organic, trying to let a certain amount of pesticides in. What people don't realize is that when you have pesticide-treated food, you can't just wash it off with some solution and get rid of the pesticides, because the pesticides are going into the soil and are being taken up through the root system of the plant and are actually being incorporated throughout the plant. So I cannot stress highly enough how important it is for you to also eat organic as much as possible, because that is what's going to help keep the pesticides out of your body. But in terms of the spraying and such, it's very hard for us to have any control over that until we start making changes in the way things are done. And one thing you have to also realize is that Tom DeLay, one of our representatives in the Congress in the District of Criminals, his family owns one of the biggest pesticide companies in the country. So just like with everything else, there's all kinds of political reasons why the very important information that Mr. Tweeden has is kept from the public.
If you, actually put your fruit and vegetables in an O3 ozonator, does that, they say that it removes pesticides, but evidently if it's on the inside of the fruit,
it would depend on the pesticide. It would also depend on the fact if you had truly organic food and not Franken food. Because if you have Franken food, they breed in Bacillus thuringiensis and other toxins. So that's part of it.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. And when you're talking organic food, one would assume that it's not genetically modified, that it's not radiated, et cetera, but that just brought to mind what you just said. In fact, I had read someplace that there was a particular brand of corn, I believe it was, that's actually registered as a pesticide itself because of this very fact of the genetic modification. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay.
The biggest problem is that we have so much contamination. Let's take one thing just so that we make it simple. They try to grow cotton in Arkansas and Texas. They finally got to the point that they couldn't put enough poison down to make it economically feasible. So they took that ground and they began to grow rice. Now the rice is full of arsenic and other things that are not going to come out with an O3 ozone machine. Arsenic is a heavy metal. So it's not, it's considered a pesticide, but it's a heavy metal.
And I wouldn't even think that rice would be something that would have to be organic, but evidently it is. Okay.
You have to know who's growing it, and the biggest problem that I see is if you've watched, they've now talked about the fact that they put a plastic in the Chinese wheat, and they started killing puppies and kitties, and now we find out we've been using it to feed fish and chickens and livestock and people. You have someone who is not watching the door for us. They've let the door open. The flies are coming in, but they're coming in with contaminant.
Right.
Who do you trust? The only one you can trust is yourself.
Oh,
because if
true.
You trust someone in politics, they're there. They're making money. You ask yourself a question when you're dealing with anything. Is somebody making money when they talk about this? And that's really what I try to do is I tell people, look, what's not done for love is done for money. And I can tell you how to do things without buying anything.
Yeah.
And I tell people that. I put it freely on the web. And I say to people, look, don't argue with someone that says pests are not dangerous. Pests are dangerous. So are pesticides. So
yeah.
Control the pests safely and far more effectively, and everybody wins.
And I just want to comment on what you were just talking about. You're referring to the melamine contaminant that's been in so many different foods. It started out killing all the pets, and there's been many articles in my local newspaper talking about how they're discovering it's also been fed to hogs and chickens and other food animals. And what do our alphabet agencies do? Well, they decide that it's probably not going to be a problem. Here it's killed all these animals, these companion animals, but yet they're still going to allow all these other animals to go to market. It's unbelievable.
We're full of toxins. We're full
yes.
of them. And what happens is that many of the things that I write about, I learned from a Chinese sage called Sun Tzu. And he talked in an Art of War. He wrote a book called The Art of War in China in 500 B.C. And he said there's never been a protracted war from which a country has benefited. Now, we have, when you fight a war, you have a sword and a shield, basically. The only sword we have against pests is pesticides. Those are the only legal tools the government allows us. In addition to that, we have a problem because the pests have become resistant. Of the 50 to 60 million insects on Earth, only 1 million are named. Of the million, only 1,000 are called pests that we know anything about. In 1990, over 500 of them, over half of them, were resistant to pesticides. So that's why they keep increasing the use of pesticides. And that they keep increasing every year because they can't control it. That's why they stopped farming cotton. Now, Sun Tzu said, have a shield. What shield do you have? I talked to Rodell, and I told him about my organic gardens that I've had for the last 40-some years. And he said, Stephen, you don't have, even before he died in Russia, he said, you don't have an organic garden, Stephen. I said, I've never used pesticides anywhere on my farm. He said, does the rain hit your farm? I said, yes, Mr. Rodell, the rain hits my farm. He said, you have pesticides on your farm. Does the wind blow over your farm, Stephen? I said, yes. He said, you have pesticides on your farm. So that we have come to this point where the animals are rebelling and they're beginning to have both male and female genitalia. We have now found out that in the colder climates up in Canada, that the native people are heavily contaminated with pesticides. They have never used them up there. It's like if the wind blows, and it does blow, when they apply a chemical in Africa, you'll find it within a week or so in Florida. We are all living downstream.
Yeah.
And we all must stop. Now, I've been asked to come to China. I'm going to be in Belgium in a couple of weeks. I find more people in other countries more interested in doing this than here in this country because we have people who seem to be more worried about who won the idol contest than whether or not they want to survive as people. And that's not your show, Dr. Kropp, because obviously you have people who are willing to listen. But there are the great number of people out there that could stop this,
yeah.
who could stop the war, who could stop the the things that we're doing to each other. And we can teach each other to play well together. I mean, we can't continue this war. And I'm talking about the war on pesticides, a war on pests. But we also can't continue a war that would kill other people with nuclear depleted uranium and things. We're coming to an end. We're like lemmings running to the sea. And I'm standing here saying to most people that I can talk to, stop. Stop. There's a point where there'll be no return. And when that happens, hundreds of millions of people will starve. Because they have now created this frankenfood, so there's only one species. And if you have one of anything, you're going to find some pest that's going to wipe it out. You have to have many species. When God created all this, he made many different kinds of trees, many kinds of plants. And if you do that, that's that stuff that helps you diversify and survive if you lose one thing. Something comes through and takes out the cabbages, at least you've got the broccoli or you got corn. Mm-hmm. We need to stop the madness.
I totally agree. And I also just want to comment that one of the other problems also is that the people that are in this industry are, of course, worried about losing their jobs. And this is one of the problems that we have in all of these different areas, in medicine, in the pesticide industry, in all of these different things that are actually hurting people. You have the people that are actually doing it, that are a cog in this wheel, and their main concern is keeping food on the table. Little do they know, especially in the pesticide industry, that they're killing themselves and their family members as they're bringing all this residue home. But that's what they have to understand, is that they're also going to be taking themselves out in the end, as well as the entire planet is going to die if this insanity continues. I also just want to mention something that you brought up about, very important, about what's happening to the very different species, especially in some of the rivers and streams. I've gotten a lot of information that it's very difficult in many very highly contaminated waters that have pesticides and plastics as well, that you can't find any male species in those
right.
streams. And that's because pesticides also act as synthetic estrogens. And this is one of the main reasons that we're having so many problems. I could speak for an hour just on that alone in terms of what's happening to men. You know, they're having all kinds of different problems. Their hormone balances are off, and it's true with women as well, because the women are getting all these synthetic estrogens, and they're developing all kinds of OBGYN problems because of that, and that's why I also teach people how to detox pesticides and plastics, because they're synthetic estrogens as well. But what Steve is saying is so important, and people have to realize this, is that, you know, we are all part of the same planet. We are all living here together. And if we don't take personal responsibility, and that includes demanding of our quote-unquote leaders that they start taking our best interests at heart and looking out for the wealth and welfare of the people instead of just worrying about getting more, you know, political contributions for their war funds so that they can run for office, so they can keep on doing it and keep on doing it, because we're all getting hurt by this insanity.
One of the things, you know, Dr. Carley, that's really kind of hopeful in a way, and it's also sad, is that there's a thing out there right now called colony collapse, total colony collapse in the bee community. All the honeybees are dying all over the world, except in the organic farmers. At my farm, I still have honeybees and bumblebees and carpenter bees. And one of the things that I found out was that when people are not using pesticides and genetically engineered food that contains this Bacillus thuringiensis, which they gather the pollen and feed the larva, it kills the whole colony. They want to blame cell phones. It's not cell phones. It's toxins.
Yeah.
So
no, wait,
if you, as Einstein said, if the bees die, man follows in 4 years.
Yes. Say that word again that you said. You said it too fast. I couldn't even understand it.
Which one was that?
Bacillus something sounded like...
Bacillus thuringiensis. That's the BT. They breed it in. It becomes part of the plant. The plant actually becomes a poison.
Uh-huh.
So then when you're eating poison. You cannot get away from it. You can't clean it up.
Wow.
And so that, say for example, you were allergic to peanuts. 1.5 million people in the United States are allergic to peanuts. Can you imagine the plant having peanuts in it? Well, that would mean that 1.5 million people could die if they were anywhere near the plant. But they breed poisons into it. They're trying to breed medicines into them. They're trying to make superbugs. All of this stuff is total madness because they are not, you know, I have this one simple rule. If God made it, I'll use it. If man made it, I'll avoid it. And the thing I've done is I've taken, I had a hospital ask me to get rid of the mice. And they were all funny. They said, I can't use live traps because the first mouse gets eaten. I can't use glue boards because that was cruel. I can't use toxins of any kind. I can't use snap traps. I can't do any of this, and on and on and on. Finally, I said, if I can find something in your cafeteria, would you let me use it to kill the mice in your hospital? And the guy said, yeah. I went and got equal packets, and I split them along the back, and within 4 days, there wasn't a mouse in the hospital.
Well, that should tell our listeners something about equal.
Maybe you might not want to drink the dye material.
Exactly. I also remember a very funny story that you mentioned on my TV show about how you killed some rats. I forgot where the rats was. Could you tell that story? Because that's pretty funny, actually.
What happens is that, as I said, there are many ways. It's not just one thing. I mean, it's like if you try to build a house with just hammers, it won't work. So I have a toolbox that I give to the world. And one of the things that I found out is that I had people who had rats in a school. And the man said, I've been told by somebody in EPA to call you to get rid of the rats. Well, they used to refer people to me till I got just too wise or too foolish or whatever. But
you made them look stupid.
So he said, what can I do? And I said, I want you to go get 6 quarts of Bud Light. And he told me that the rat was coming out from under a boiler and that the plate that covered the sewer was gone and they couldn't get to it because the boiler was right over it. And I said, go get 6 quarts of Bud Light. And he said, look, Stephen, I got a rat problem. I don't need to get drunk. And I said, the Bud Light is for the rats and not you. I said, go put it in the cooler, refrigerator, be sure it gets to be around 34 degrees Fahrenheit, or as cool as you can get it without freezing. And I said, get a lasagna pan that'll take a quart, and it's lightly greasy with corn oil so it doesn't cause foaming. And I said, pop the top and pour in the last guy out of school, pop the top of a quart and pour it into the lasagna pan as close to the boiler as you can go. The boiler was off. This was summer. But the rats were coming in and out. And I said, just do that. And I said, after 6 days, call me and tell me what happened. After the third day, he said, all my rats are dead, Stephen. What witchcraft did you do? And I said, rats can't fart. They can't belch and they can't vomit. So that when they got the beer, it blew up their stomachs. Now, if your dog gets into the beer, the dog or the kid or anyone else can pass gas, can vomit, can belch, and do all those things. But a rat can't. So there are many things that you use against the creature that you're trying to do. Everybody that's listening has a brain about 250,000 times bigger than any pest they're going to come in contact with. If they use their brain, they're going to win. If they use the poison, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose big. At some point, you know, it's not so much the LD50 value with a lethal dose that kills 50% of the population, but you in your practice and you talk to people, you know, there's people out there so sick they can't function in society anymore.
Yes, because it's all of these things together. If listeners go to my website, drcarly.com, and click on the big picture, pesticides is but one of many poisons that we're being exposed
right to.
There's so many things, and it's a combination of all of these different things that eventually causes your body to reach critical mass, and you just can't even take it anymore, and that's why your body develops a symptom. That's your body trying to wake you up. And unfortunately, most people will go to their local white coat who will give them a prescription, which is just another toxin that's being added to the load. And that's why detoxification is key. And I was quite amazed. I got an email from some from somebody who had sent me what some white coat was saying, actually poo-pooing detoxification, you know, saying that's the function of the liver. That's why we were given livers.
I read that.
Yeah, well, our livers can only take so much. I mean, you keep pouring all this stuff into you, and eventually your liver's not going to be able to handle it, and your body starts storing all these toxins, stores it in various places. Many of them are stored in fatty tissue, and
right.
This is what's happening to people.
And as I said, what we've done, we did a lot of research off of stuff that I've done. I took schools in Ohio that less than half the kids could pass their proficiencies. I took the poisons just out of the school, not their homes, not their food, just out of the school, and 100% of the kids passed their proficiencies. And Dr. Gillette, hearing about this, went in Mexico and did the Yaqui Indian study, where the Yaqui Indian tribe, there was half up in the mountain and half in the valley, same people. The kids in the valley were exposed to pesticides. The kids in the mountain weren't. The kids in the mountain could stand on one foot, drop a raisin in a cup, could draw people, could play well together, had endurance, and were functioning children. The kids in the valley were special ed, which takes you back to the autism and all the things with the mercury and everything else that we're going to go through. I mean, it's amazing to me that anybody with a white coat can sit back and look at you and say, you're saying mercury is not a good thing to put in people. Well, anyone who's read the Alice in Wonderland story, they know what the Mad Hatter became mad about.
Exactly.
He had mercury.
Exactly.
I mean, these people have a lot to lose. They have poisoned us.
Yes.
And they continue to poison us. And it's with malice aforethought.
Yes.
Now, my house has burned down and my office has burned down, and I'm still standing here. And I know your trials and tribulations, kid. I know what you've gone through.
And, of course, this is what they do to people that speak the truth, and that's something very important to realize, but not to be filled with fear, because people that speak the truth are protected. And that's very important for all of you to help get the word out, and I hope that you will refer people to bbsradio.com and let them listen to the archive of this show tonight, because this is something that people don't even consider, especially with the schools. And this is one thing that so amazes me. They're inoculating these children with so many vaccines now. It's just unbelievable. There's actually a pediatrician, Dr. Paul Offit, who's made the statement publicly that children can handle up to 10,000 vaccines at one time. And then you have the pesticides in the school, and you have the garbage that they're eating, the genetically modified food and all the other things. And here we have all of these different, you know, educational committees talking about how the children aren't doing well in school. Well, is it any surprise that they're not doing well in school? How could they possibly do well when they're being, you know, exposed to all of these poisons? It's just insanity.
It's come to the point where, as I said, the very fact that Rise is worried now that the 110th Congress may pay attention to us. And because they're so worried, they want all the people that are involved in applying poison. They're not pest control people. They're a poison applicator. I'm a pest control person. I tell you how to control pests. I don't apply poison. I don't need poison. So the rule of thumb to me is that I can find a safer way to do something. I do it that way. In a vacuum or lights, a fan. If you want to keep mosquitoes off you, just put a fan on. Sit outside. You can sit right on the deck and by the swamp, and no mosquito will hit you because you got a fan blowing at you.
Wow.
The 3-mile-an-hour wind, they can't do it. That's why it was so nuts they were spraying Manhattan. My God, there's never a time when there's not 3-mile-an-hour wind. But they kept spraying it, and they didn't control anything. What happens is that West Nile virus has gone within a few years because everything becomes immune to it.
Uh-huh.
And they still sprayed. And they sprayed and spent millions and millions of dollars. It's like the fire ants. I knew a guy that was paid a lot of money, and he had spent several hundred million dollars a year to get rid of fire ants. And he was getting stung, so he asked Gillette's husband, Louis Gillette, to call me and ask me how to not get stung by fire ants. Because he wouldn't call me. Louis Gillette's not an animal. entomologist that he doesn't have any problem dealing with me, but people who teach entomology have a real difficult time with me because they don't know how to do what I do, and they don't want to learn what I do.
Right.
So he said, tell me how I can get rid of the fire ants so I don't get bit myself. And I said, lightly dust yourself with talcum powder. Now, this man was enough of a scientist that he took a stick and put talcum powder on the end and ran it down into a fire ant colony. And when he got done with it, they ran all the way up to the talcum powder and stopped. And that's why, you know, then he calls all the way up and says, Louis, ask Steve why that works. I said, why do you put talcum powder on a baby's butt? Keep them dry, so it's a desiccant. And it clogs the spiracles, and they don't like the odor, so it stops their ability to lay down scent trails. So you could stop all of the fire ants anywhere in the United States by using little talcum powder in electrical boxes. And where you don't have that, you can use some Vaseline. And I went into a grove, and people, when I'm dealing with people, they like to ridicule me. And I was down in there, and I'd removed all of, I was in an orange grove, and I'd removed the spider mites, the leaf miners, and the citrus aphid, but I had not touched the Ashishoni, which is a beneficial fungus, and I hadn't touched the ladybugs. And he said, so what? I said, no one's ever applied a technique like I have that killed the bad bugs and left the good bugs, but I just did. And he said, so what? I said, well, it's hard to explain to you, but you don't want to kill your own, your allies. That's called friendly fire or collateral damage. You don't want to do that. You want to keep the things that are keeping everything in balance working for you, so you don't have to do anything. And then he sat back. He said something about, I was a northern Jew, and I thought I knew everything. And I said, you know, you guys have always had Jews here in Florida. And he said, no, we haven't. I said, yes, you have. You've had orange Jews and grapefruit Jews and tomato Jews and all kinds of Jews. And he wouldn't laugh. And finally I said, do you see all the fire ants down here in this grove? He said, yeah. I said, there's more in this grove than out there in the pasture where they belong, because they like the sun. And I said, you probably used every poison known to man in this grove, because it's about 50, 60 years old. He said, you're right. And I said, yeah, but you haven't stopped the fire ants. I said, I'll stop them. He said, don't use your chemical that you use to kill the... I said, I won't. I'll use orange juice. And he went nuts. He just came unglued. So we drove back to his packing plant. And I said, while you're there, pick out 10 fire ant colonies. Or as many fire ant colonies as you have different types of fire ant poison. And they had 8 different poisons. And so they picked out 10, and they put poison in each one of their 8. They left one as it was, and they gave me the biggest one. And I said, it's only fair. I went in where they were testing the orange juice for sugar content. I took a gallon of orange juice, 2 gallons of water, and a dash of soap, put a hole in the fire ant colony, and I poured that down, that mixed down. And the next day, their poison had moved the fire ants 2 or 3 feet over. The ants that hadn't been treated stayed just where they were, and only mine was done. And they said, you tricked us. I said, how did I trick you? Now, in Florida, they don't have a lot of place to dig. When you dig, you're in water. So they don't really have landfills. If they do, you're drinking it. So when they get all these oranges that are not got enough sugar content to pass for orange juice, they stack them 3 or 4 feet deep in fields and let them rot.
Wow.
And I said, look, you got enough free oranges here. You could kill all the fire ants in the United States. You would solve the problem of the oranges. You'd solve the problem of the fire ants. And there would be no cost involved at all. Nobody does that.
What is the mechanism by which the unsweet orange juice would kill the fire ants?
Well, it first of all, it's an antioxidant. So if an ant eats it, it'll suffocate. It also has an acid, so it destroys the cellular level. But it's simple. I mean, it's not harmful. You can disinfect anything that you have on your table, your food, whatever, by simply spraying it with an acid like cider. and you take and spray any like clean cider, just spray it on your food or the counter, you'll take out 98% of the bacteria, 96% of the mold, and about 94% of the viruses. If right behind that you spray with hydrogen peroxide, you'll get rid of everything. And it doesn't cost any money. It's a wonderful disinfectant.
Yes, and that's why there's so many natural cleaning products now that are made out of citrus solvents. And
yeah.
I also just want to point out what you were saying about these citrus groves that have all these fire ants, and they're admitting to you that they're using 8 different poisons. Just imagine what's happening to the groundwater as those pesticides seep into the ground and get picked up by the roots of the tree. Those are going right into all those citrus products.
Now, there's no way you can wash the fruit.
Exactly.
So good that, and even if you peel it, you're not going to get rid of the toxin that's in it. See, the sad thing is we have to do one thing. We have to stop the contamination. Once we stop the contamination and it becomes more logical to put up a fan, to sprinkle a little talcum powder, to use a red light, to use a little heat, to use a little cold, to use some common sense, virtually everything you use, you can find some way of controlling pests with it. I mean, I'm hard pressed. I was in Florida, and my son, who's got a medical clinic down there, his wife's sister had a house, and basically houses in Florida are simply concrete block with some 2x4s, and they offered to treat her termites for about $6,000. And I looked at her, I said, you haven't got $600 worth of wood in this building. And I said, don't you think that's kind of economically stupid? But I said, she said, I want rid of the termites. I said, okay, I'll get rid of the termites. But I didn't come down here with anything but my mind. I don't have any equipment. So I went over to my son. I said, write me a prescription for one 250-milligram Flagyl. And not for me or for a person. I wouldn't give that to a person. But I gave it to the termites. And I mixed it with water, and I sprayed cardboard, and I made like a Band-Aid over the mud tubes. Within hours, the termites were gone. Actually, within 3 days, there were termites found in over a block. Because what it had done, the Flagyl, being an antibiotic, killed all the microorganisms in the termites' guts, and they just starved to death. So it's very simple, and yet, instead of doing that, they'll put hundreds of gallons of poison in your ground all around your home.
Exactly.
Your ground literally becomes a toxic waste dump, and they say, we're going to help you. God, don't help me. You sound like the government. I'm here to help you. Please, don't.
Exactly.
Don't do it.
And then, of course, your pets are going out into this ground, and they're traipsing around in these poisons, and they're licking their paws, and they're tracking it back in the house, and you're being
well, there's so much. That's where that chemical trespass comes in, where you're going to find people that when they actually, right now, I can tell you something. I probably shouldn't, but 75% of your people listening have probably got levels so high of chlordane in their house they should be evacuated. But they didn't do anything. When I first came up with that, I said any house built prior to 89 is contaminated. It's 75% of them are so contaminated you should evacuate.
Wow.
Because they proved that. But what happens to the government when they see that, says we don't have money to do that. One of my friends was involved with the Wright-Patterson, and the people were getting sick in the housing. And the guy that was the commander there said to my friend, the scientist, pick a level where you're not going to have remediation over 2%. And that's where the UGS first came up, where they said, which is safe. And now it's less than, 40 times less than what it was. We have no one protecting us.
Exactly.
When 911 took place, I said, evacuate Manhattan.
Wow.
Because it's contaminated. And Rudy Giuliani and Bush and all the people get up there, and the head of EPA, and said, it's safe, don't worry about it.
Right.
Now the people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop it. We need somebody in this government that understands this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that
Ron
must
Paul.
Play well together. Ron Paul sounds like somebody, for the first time I'm listening to a Republican thinking, God, he's making sense.
Yes.
And he's also trying to say alternative cures are okay.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm sitting here and saying, wow, you know, one of the things I'd like to do before we conclude is I'd like you to read chapter 40 for me. Because as a doctor, I would appreciate your comments on my book.
Okay.
Because that's all about detox and how do you heal cancer.
Okay.
Feel free to make comments on it.
Okay, wait. Just keep talking while I access it here on my computer.
We have many things on there. This chapter 40 is basically telling people that you don't need to put more stuff in you. You take things out of you, and you'll feel better.
Okay.
So that what you're saying and what you're doing, I don't know, when you and I talked the last time, I was basically doing pest control. Now I'm doing a lot of things in the health field.
Yes.
Because cured the stuff in the pest. I got to do something. I justify my breathing air here.
Yes. Well, it's all related because, of course, getting rid of the pesticides is just one part of the problem as far as stopping to using them. But like you said, we've all been contaminated. It's in the water, it's in the air, and it's been stored in our bodies and it's in our houses. Okay, so here we go. Why do we need to detox? Because we are all being inundated on a daily basis with many, many toxins that tend to accumulate in our bodies. An estimated 24 billion pounds of toxicants that are developmentally and neurologically damaging to children are released into the environment every year, potentially affecting one in every 200 children. Every year, more than 1 million people are poisoned by pesticides. 20,000 of them die, mostly in developing countries. A single gallon of used oil improperly disposed of can contaminate 1 million gallons of drinking water, a year's supply for 50 people. Recycling that gallon of used oil could generate enough electricity to run the average household for 12 hours. There are many other toxins we simply choose to use daily and ignore the following warnings. Caution is the least toxic of the categories, with a lethal dose of 1 ounce to 1 pint. Warning has a lethal dose of 1 teaspoon to 1 tablespoon. Danger or poison is the most toxic, with a lethal dose of 1 taste to 1 teaspoon. And that brings to my mind the substance fluoride. I have many packaging inserts that are put on the fluoride products that are actually sold to water companies, and that's exactly what it says. It says danger, poison, and it's got the skull and crossbones on it. So there are so many different poisons that come under this category. And, of course, they're selling it to the water companies so that they can allegedly help our teeth not get cavities, but it does the exact opposite. How far down do you want me to go?
That's fine. I want you basically to take your time and look at that.
Yes.
And just send me an email.
I would suggest that all the listeners do so, because everything he's saying goes along with everything that I've been saying, and this is such an important thing for people to realize. I would ask any of you to call in if you've ever had your white coat ask you the question, do you use pesticides in your home? When you go in and you're very sick, they never ask any of these questions. They don't ask you if you use aspartame. They don't ask anything about toxic substances, because, of course, that's all they know how to do is give more toxic substances. So this idea of being assaulted with such a variety of poisons that eventually your body breaks down, they don't even comprehend that. And that's something that's just so amazing to me as I went through medical school, that was never discussed. Ever.
No.
And it's very
sad. No, because they sell more pesticides than the pest control guys.
Because
that stuff is killing a pest. That medicine
yes.
is basically a pesticide.
Yes, it is.
Most
medicine. Exactly. It is.
And the thing is like chemo, for example, it's not very effective, and yet it makes a lot of money for people. So they do a lot of chemo. It's like I'd do an analogy in there. That if I was teaching you to box, I'd want you as healthy as I could get you before you went in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid you have cancer. You're going to fight the biggest battle you're going to fight in your life. And you want to be in better shape than go in there and get so toxic you can't move and your hair falls out.
Yes, well,
you want to get back. And the thing is, there's so many simple things that do this stuff.
Yes. Chemotherapy causes cancer. Radiation causes cancer. That's been proven over time, and there's actually articles from 20, 30 years ago right in the medical journals where they discuss this. I'm always amazed at new things that I'm hearing. I've not been wearing my white coat for about 15 years now, so I'm not even up to date on the latest craziness that they're teaching medical students these days. But one new concept that I heard of recently is this idea of like chemotherapy light, where they give a slightly lower dose of chemotherapy, stating that, well, that's not going to have as many toxic side effects as the higher dose of the poison. And my answer to that is, yes, it's better to be shot with a revolver than get shot with an Uzi. You know, it's going to have less effect on you. But, of course, what you need
to
do
shot.
Is get the poisons out of you that cause cancer in the first place, and pesticides is right at the top of the list. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, benzene is basically the first beginning molecule of any pesticide that's volatile. Mm-hmm. And there's two things that I know that cause cancer. One's radiation, the other's benzene. And when you track it back, they may not call it benzene, but if you look at the chemical structure, you can see it. It's there. That's why when you spray something on the ground, it kills the cockroach up on the shelf. But it doesn't kill all of them. It does kill some. They finally got me with chlordane. They said, Stephen, you're saying it doesn't kill. And so we're going to sue you if you don't say it kills. I said, all right. I'll be very happy to. I drew a man. I put all the symptoms of pesticide poisoning. And I said, chlordane does in fact kill.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it really did is that termites avoided it. They wouldn't go through the contamination. They would find some other way around the poison soil. Sometimes they went down a rut, like a rose root into the house, whatever. But they didn't literally want to go through the chlordane. We don't have that. When anything that's put down for termites volatilizes. And when it's no longer volatilizing, it's no longer effective as a termiticide. You have to have it done again. But there's so many things that kill termites. I mean, there's a lot of people that stole from me. That's one of the reasons we gave away the book, because I figured, if you give it away, you can't steal it. And one of the guys called me up, and he'd stolen ideas from me in the past. He said, can you tell me how to get rid of termites? And it was something that's basically not toxic. I said, table salt. Spray the wood with table salt. It works extremely quickly. You won't have any termites. So he went out, and he got it registered as a termiticide. And began to sell it. He never called me back and asked me to give any more hints, because I didn't tell him that table salt also eats ferrous metals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd spray it in a crawl space, all the nails would fall off, and your house would fall in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, borax doesn't do that, but table salt does.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what I do is I tell people how to use the stuff that's there, that's simple stuff that they can go to the store and get, stuff they have in their medicine box or their cupboards, and tell them how to make things. It's kind of fun. One of the things that the Chinese have asked me to come is because they have such a tremendous amount of contamination. They just literally believed us when we said pesticides are the modern way of farming, and so that. A lot of the stuff we're getting from China is very contaminated. And one of the people I was talking to over there he was trying to keep, it was a rice dish, say it was rice pudding. It wasn't, but it was that kind of a thought. And he put in something in there to try to keep it from spoiling. And within 24 or 36 hours, it was garbage. So what he does now to keep it fresh is put formaldehyde in it. It keeps it for weeks. But people are eating that.
My God.
And like the thing you're reading, chlorine bleach is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's extremely dangerous if you mix it with ammonia.
Yeah.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
And yet, there isn't any warning on either the chlorine bleach bottle or the ammonia bottle telling you to do that.
Yes,
and that's one of the funny things. Chlorine bleach is sold as a disinfectant even though it's not registered.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the funny things. This government allows people to do certain things that are totally outrageous. And they say, well, we have to register that as a poison. If I tell you that you can kill something with Bud Light, like a rat, that's true, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sell somebody your beer and say it kills rats, you got real trouble because you're selling an unregistered pesticide. But I'm sure Anheuser-Busch will not register Bud Light as a rat poison.
Exactly, and I want to mention that, of course, formaldehyde is another carcinogen, and that's also put in vaccinations. And, of course, we know the reason that these things are happening, because the lobbyists for these different companies that want to cover up the toxicity of the things that they're using are stuffing cash in the pockets of our quote-unquote representatives so fast that, you know, they basically get whatever they want. And this is why this continues to happen. It's unbelievable.
China did something for their FDA guy. They caught him taking an $830,000 bribe.
Really?
They executed him.
They executed him?
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah. I think that everybody that's found with their hand in the till that's killing people should be at least incarcerated.
Well, they're committing treason. They're committing crimes against humanity. I mean, it's unbelievable, especially when, like you said, there's so many natural alternatives that do not kill the beneficial insects. I mean, when I was in Florida, it was unbelievable, in Long Island as well. I'm in North Carolina now. I do see a few butterflies. But I can't remember the last time I saw a firefly. And butterflies in both Florida and Long Island, I never saw butterflies. So obviously all of these creatures are being wiped out, and this is very serious. And I also just remembered something that you mentioned when you were on with me before about dish soap, something about that it's not allowed to be put into pesticides. Can you tell that little story?
Well, there are a number of exempted ingredients. If you check my Chapter 11 on the free book at www.thebestcontrol2.com,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 11 talks about exempted ingredients. You can make a pesticide in the United States, and EPA does not require you to register it if 100% of the ingredients are on that list. But on that list, they have scrupulously avoided putting any soap or detergent. Because soaps and detergent, literally, any cleaning product your listening audience has will kill pests better than any pesticide they buy.
Right.
And so they don't want that on that list.
Because
so
they try
to limit
there,
it.
Right.
Huh?
It will make it self-evident that the soap is actually doing the job.
See, one of the things that they do is, like, if you and I were farmers and we decided we wanted to spray, you know, an orchard, a grove, a field, a garden, whatever, with pesticides, they allow you to put unregistered surfactants in them. Surfactants is a nice fancy way for saying soap or detergent.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it in, it's unregistered, and you can buy it, and it just makes it more effective, and no one says we can't do that. But if I say to you, you know, why don't we just put the surfactant in and forget the poison? It'll work better that way than it did with the pesticide. But we've now done an illegal application because we've used an unregistered pesticide to control a crop.
Exactly.
The laws are crazy. It's like I was with the pharmacist group, and they were saying something to me about how they were using pyrethrin and pyrethroids to kill lice on kids. And I said, look, would you spray a kid with a can of Raid?
Uh-huh.
An aerosol can of pesticide? They said, of course not. I said, did you ever take the lice treatment and compare it to a can of crawling roach killer, flying ant bomb? You'll find that the lice treatment is the one I had shown them was four times more toxic.
Wow.
They said, well, how can that possibly be? I said, does it bother you that the can of Raid says you should wash immediately? You should, if you get on your clothes, strip it, you'll out the fresh air, get mouth to mouth resuscitation. And that never left it on you. Does that bother you? He said, of course it bothers me. I said, well, that's EPA registry.
Right.
The poison for your for the lice is registered by FDA.
Uh-huh.
And they say you can leave it on for 16 hours or overnight, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. So kids are having this terrible amount of poison. It's like if you look and you see the flea treatment that says don't get this on your hands, well, why would you put it on a puppy's neck?
Exactly.
There is no rhyme or reason to anything. But people, I used to ask people, do you read the label? And they'd say, oh, yeah. I'd bring them up the front with me and I'd say, look, what does this word mean? What word? Pronounce this word here. Cholinesterase. Can you say that? I said, cholinesterase. This is a note to the physician. This will adversely affect cholinesterase. Does that bother you? Oh. No. I said, well, it should, because what you're really saying, it's a nerve gas.
Exactly.
And it's like, if you have a physician, he has to know you've been exposed to something that's inhibiting the cholinesterase, which means the little things that let the nerve cells move and the nerve impulses move from places of the synapses, they're not functioning. And so you begin to walk funny, you drool, and you, eventually you can kill yourself. And I said, why do you think they put it on there that way? Well, I said, they put it on there so you don't know you're using a poison.
Right.
And they make a big point not to say it's poison. They say product. They say material. Direct the spray towards the building or whatever. They don't say, going to put down some rat poison. They put down mouse bait or something like that. And what you really have to understand is, this is not a word game. This is a game that's going to affect you. Maybe not today. Maybe not even next week. But somewhere along the line, it's going to affect you. It's going to come up and bite you. And when it bites you, you're not going to be able to function well. And you wonder, what happened to you? What happened to your health? What happened to your ability? I mean, when I was so poisoned, I couldn't keep myself under control. I mean, I would be suicidally depressed, murderously angry, laughing, giggling. That's what you see when you're in a bar and watch people drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They're unable to control themselves.
Well,
and so when you drive down the road today, you've got road rage. You've got all these people going crazy.
Yes. I just wanted to mention it because I don't know if you know, but road rage is now listed as a psychiatric diagnosis. And so what are they going to do for that? They're going to give you yet another toxin, another drug. That's what they're going to do. It's unbelievable.
When the kid is all goofy in class, they give him Ritalin.
Yes. Cocaine.
In other words, you know how you get a drunk to stop? Give him another drink. He'll pass out, or she'll pass out.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that really is not the way that you cure the drunk. It's just that they're no longer obnoxious.
Right.
So that what happens is that if you see what's causing the problem, if you feel what's causing the problem, is your mind. If you've been told it's your mind, you go running around trying to find some psychiatrist to make you feel better.
Exactly.
And they'll give you Quaaludes and everything else, so you're just spaced out. And the problem is we can't do that. The whole world is like it's on a buzz right now. And
the
I talk
whole world
to people.
They're chronically ill. Everybody's chronically ill. They're constantly talking about how, you know, we have the best healthcare system in the world. And, yes, we have lots of fancy diagnostic imaging techniques that can diagnose things. But as far as people being healthy, forget it. We've got one of the sickest populations on the face of the earth. And I just want to mention one other thing. When you were talking before about people not reading the labels, one of the main reasons that this is happening is because people are trusting the white coats. They're trusting the veterinarians with the white coats who are selling them all these products for flea control and the heartworm medication and all these various things. They're trusting the doctors with the white coats who are giving them prescriptions for Lindane. I think that's the name of the product for lice and all
yep.
these different things. They're trusting
Melifine.
Them. Yeah, they're believing them that they know the best thing to do, and they don't even use their common sense. They don't even want to read the label, because if they read the label, then they might have to question whether or not the doctor even knows what they're doing. So they blindly go in there. They worship the Church of Modern Day Medicine, which has become like a religion. I mean, if you have somebody in your family that's a medical doctor and you start to talk to them about these kinds of things, talk about rage and anger, you watch the kind of reaction that comes up when they're asked hard questions about all these different toxins that they're prescribing. They don't want to hear it because they can't believe that they were brainwashed to do bad things for the people that they're supposed to be helping. They don't want to believe that. So they continue to do it anyways, watching everybody getting sicker and sicker. And it's just totally evil as far as I'm concerned, because so many of them have to know what they're doing. I've had many doctors come to me for help, and not a single one of them has ever gone back and used any of the techniques that I use to help people heal themselves on their own patients.
They can't, because they'll lose their license to practice medicine.
Yeah, I know.
Zane lost his license. I won't mention his name. He's a dear friend, and he's a relative. And it's not my son, but he's a dear friend. And he said when people come in to see him, if he says you need to take and drink some more orange juice or get up and walk or whatever, they'll go to another doctor to prescribe something for them, because they really think that if they come in there, you got to give them something.
Yeah.
And he said the funny thing is that if you try to do this holistically, they look at you like you're a quack. And he said to me, he said, I basically went into surgery so I could get away with it. Get away from it. You know, and he does basically, well, I think, he does stuff that doesn't require medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have to give somebody pills.
Exactly.
And he told me honestly, he said, Stephen, if I was in charge of the health care, I could drop the price of medicine 90%. Because 10% is diagnostic treatment from the doctor. He diagnoses what you have. And then 10%, that 10% is all that really that doctor should do. But the 90% of the bill comes from testing and treatment. And what happens if you go into a surgeon, he's going to do surgery. If you go into a guy that sells tires, he's going to sell you tires.
Right.
And so that we kind of bring it on ourselves by going to that white coat.
Exactly.
And expecting the white coat to give us something to make us feel better without doing any research.
Yes, well, I will say that the listeners to this show, I can assure you, are not the type of people that you described, and there is an awakening happening because people are watching their loved ones, what's happening to them. And last week we had on the show a veterinarian who's talking about what vaccinations are doing to the pets and how it's killing them, and she mentioned the toxic food and, of course, all the other poisons that they're being exposed to. People are starting to come out of this trance. And
thank
starting
God.
To realize, it's like what you said, Steve, it's common sense. If something is bad for you, and the way I always tell people is, if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. Don't put it on your body, you know?
Right. If I tell people, I had a guy come up to my office, and he looked real bad. And I don't know what I said, but I don't remember anymore, but he threw me some pills. And he said, nausea, I've got nausea. And I took his pills, and I looked at my physician's desk reference. And the first contraindication, it causes nausea. And I brought him over, I said, look at this. You see, right here, you're taking something to cure your nausea that causes nausea. Does that bother you at all?
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you have to be aware that if someone tells you they're going to put a new storm window on your house and they want $5,000, maybe you should get another quote. And I said, when you're dealing with something as valuable as your health, maybe you should get another opinion. And when you get all done, when they say, I think we're going to give you Malathion, or we're going to give you Flagyl, or we're going to give you whatever, you go to your Google search and say Flagyl space plus sign space danger, health effects, negative health effects. And you'll be amazed what you can find out. If you do that and you sit there and say, I'm going to check that out for something I'm going to eat, because they said this is a good thing for me to do. It's like margarine. They made it to feed turkeys. Turkeys died, so they fed it to pigs. The pigs died. So they said it's health food for people. I can take a quarter pound of margarine, put it on a picnic table. It's there for years. Nothing eats it.
Yeah, people don't realize it's one molecule away from plastic. So you're basically feeding yourself with plastic.
That's the same thing that they gave us from China.
Yes.
That's plastic.
Oh, wow. That's a very good analogy.
If you want to, you've got to pay sense. And that part of that is that when God made everything, he said, behold, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that if it's something that's natural and it's not contaminated, that's what you want to eat. That's what you want to use. That's what you want to wear.
Yeah.
And so that as I go through life, and then, you know, my gift to mankind was this book when I was 65. But as I go through life, I don't take any medicine. I don't do that. I don't need to. And I look and I see people who are spending thousands and thousands of dollars a month on medicine,
mm-hmm.
and they're sick. We had a friend of mine. His mother had Alzheimer's. So bad, she didn't recognize her son. And I sat down with him and I said, "This is my best friend." And I said, "Look, if your mother died, would that be a blessing or a curse?" He said it would be a blessing because she doesn't even know where she is. I said, do me a favor and stop all of her medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let me think about it. And by the weekend, he had stopped her medicine. He said, if she dies, Stephen, I'm not going to hold you responsible. I said, that's mighty nice of you. Within a month, she was recognizing him. She was no longer with Alzheimer.
Mm-hmm.
She started coming back.
Yeah.
And she lived for years after that.
Mm-hmm.
And lived a quality life, not a quantity life, a quality life.
Exactly.
You know, if you can't walk out and look at the sunset or the sunrise, if you can't walk along a beach, if you can't smell the flowers, look at the clouds, talk to a child, love somebody. If you can't do that, what kind of life you got?
Exactly.
So that we need this whole thing about my book is to teach people to play well together.
Yeah.
And everything I try to do is say, look, I've given this to you. Now you give it to somebody else. Take your turn.
Yeah.
Don't be greedy. My mama was the most wise woman I've ever met in my life. Very strong lady. She knew I was a kind of a greedy little kid, and I could never. My mom gave me a candy bar, and she said, "Stephen, I want you to share this candy bar with your brother Harold." And I looked over at my brother Harold, and his face went, "Oh my God, I'll be lucky if I get the wrapper." And my mother gave me the knife, and I said, "Okay." I was ready to cut it. She said, something that changed my life. You cut it, Stephen, but he gets first pick.
Mm.
Diamonds have never been cut as fine as that candy bar that afternoon. They couldn't have had a more fair cut. And we need to do that.
Yeah.
And we need to require people who say they're going to work for us to work for us. whether they're Democrat or Republican, don't defend them because there's something that they're not doing. If they're not protecting we the people, you need new people.
Yes.
We need a whole bunch of new people in Washington who say, we need to have common sense. We don't need to terrorize those that are trying to make it a better world. We need to help them. I don't know if you saw that Cindy quit. Sheehan quit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I read her thing, and a lot of my friends read it, and they said, it's the saddest email I've ever seen, Steve. And I said, well, Cindy thought this was a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
This is more like a marathon.
Exactly.
And I said, I got a lot of friends, like Dr. Carly, and Dr. Sherman, Dr. Rapp, Zane, and others that have stood here. And we've taken the worst that they could give us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found out that we're better off with the worst than they are with the best. Because I sleep well at night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Dr. I just want to underline something that you said before about us all playing together. It's also us taking care of this world that we've been entrusted with by our Creator, because as people are seeing all of these endangered species dying off, I often say to people, which species do you think is going to be next? I mean, eventually, mm-hmm. It's going to be us. It's going to be us if we don't do anything. And also in regard to the side effects of things that you mentioned, I have to just put in my two cents on this, because I can assure all the listeners that when medical doctors go to the physician's desk reference, that book of poisons, the only thing they're going for is to find the indications for the drug and to find the dosage of the drug. That side effects part, that's never even looked at. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of people that I've had as clients who have come to me with various complaints. When I do protocols for people, I spend many, many hours, especially if they're on a bunch of drugs, and I go through that book of poisons, and I list all the side effects of the drugs that they're having problems with. And it's just like you said, it never fails, that one of the side effects of the drug will always be the very thing that the drug is being given for.
Right.
So what do the white coats do when you come in and you say, oh, doctor, I'm still having my nausea, or I'm still having my depression or my headache or whatever? They will never even consider taking you off that drug in most cases. They
give
will
me another
actually
one.
Up. They will up the dosage.
Sure.
That's what
give
they do.
Give me another one.
Yeah. Or
give
yeah,
me two
add
more.
Something else. Yeah, add something else to the cocktail.
You know, one
yeah.
of the things is that there's a friend of mine that decided that said that we lose between 25 and 100,000 species of insect, plant, and animal every year because of man's
wow.
footprint. But he said, you know, and this is the thing that I want you to see. Remember I told you there's only 1,000 pests?
Mm-hmm.
After waging war against this 1,000 pests for over 60 years, we haven't even eradicated one, much less, we haven't controlled one, much less eradicated one. All those pests are still there, and they're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point you have to realize it's a failure. I've had guys come in there, they threaten to arrest me. And I said, well, let's go, guys. And they said, well, you know, we want you to stop writing. And I said, I'm not going to stop writing. I'm not going to stop talking. And right now, with this book being out like it is, people are now downloading it, putting it on their own websites, and I don't have any problem with that.
Uh-huh.
So that it's something that no one can shut down anymore.
Exactly.
It's something that's there. It's so like if I said to you, Dr. Carly, I'd like to come to your house, and I'd like to put asbestos on your furnace, you'd say, are you nuts? But someday, not that long ago, they were putting asbestos on furnaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to the part of my life, God grant me that I see that people say, you're going to put what in my house? Are you nuts? I don't want any poison in my house. Do something else. I want you to control the pest and not kill me.
And I know that you have gone to various congressional bodies, especially the EPA, and tried to get them to, look at your work and reply to your work. Can you just tell the listeners some of those experiences that you've had? Because That's pretty funny.
Well, part of it is that they know, and they'll tell me privately,
mm-hmm.
that the whole thing's a joke, and we've never controlled any pests. And if they catch a guy, for example, that missed the termites in your house, they may tell him he can't work for 2 or 3 days. And most of these guys, they're the people that regulate are the same people that do the work. I had regulators that never even done any pest control. They were telling me how to control pests. And when they had chlordane, they said, we'd feel safer, Stephen, if you treated the house each time it was sold. I said, it's contaminated now. We'd feel safer if you put more in. And I look at him and think, on my website, www.getipm, I put down there in certain places, come arrest me, I'm not going to do what you say. They told me that if I didn't put down the maximum labeled rate of poison, I was defrauding the public.
Wow.
I said, well, come arrest me because I'm not going to use it. You don't need that. It's like the termites. They had the termites, 99, not so much in Florida, but when you have basements, 99% of the time termites get into a house that's by the front porch.
Really?
Or the back porch. And so they put 99% of the poison elsewhere. I said, that's not even logical.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to treat the porches. And I said to the people, look, this is way back before I got to the point where I had alternatives. I said, if you get termites in these other areas, I'll come treat them. And they said, well, how bad do termites eat? I said, a full-grown colony of termites can eat about a foot or 2x4 a year. I said, that's nothing. I said, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we go through all this craziness to sit back and try to protect ourselves. We slather ourselves with poison and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. We haven't got a clue, not a clue of what the problem is. And it's like shutting the door and stopping the flies. We'd rather stand there with a can of Raid and kill the flies as they come in. Coughing. As we do. And so I looked at it and I said, you know, man, you've gotta have a sense of humor in this kind of a thing because people are doing things that are totally illogical.
Exactly.
Whether they be white coats or whether they be people with a mask on, but I've spent my life wondering why anybody pays somebody to poison them. And I said, especially if there's alternatives. Especially if there's alternatives that are safer and far more effective. When I got the first school I got, you were talking about these kids that were hurt. I had kids that were bleeding through every opening they had when pesticides were applied.
Oh,
and the first school that hired me in Ohio said, Stephen, we want you to come, but we know the pests will get worse. But at least we won't be hurting our students. I said, you're hiring me to make your pests worse? Yeah. You anticipate that when I do this, you're going to have more pests than you do now. Right. I said, okay. A month later, they called up and said, there aren't any pests. What happened? I said, I didn't use any pesticides. When the schools teach people entomology, they have their own pests that they grow, and they sometimes get be taken over by natural predators. They spray their pests with pesticides to protect them. But I think, God, it's all like I'm in a. I feel like I'm Alice in Wonderland. And I think
in the Twilight Zone.
I'm in the Twilight Zone. If I tell you, you don't have to pay any money, and you'll have better control. Why would you insist? I'm paying money and poisoning yourself. And I've never understood that. And it's that part of the human belief is such that if you convince yourself that something's true, you become religious, I believe.
Yeah.
And you become conservative. But if you have an open mind and you seek enlightenment and truth, you become liberal and spiritual. And when you get to that liberal spiritual plane, you realize that the greatest pleasure in life is helping somebody.
Yeah.
That you don't own anything. It owns you. If you have three cars, you got to take care of three cars. You got a boat, you got to take care of that. Everything you got to take care of. It's not important. The biggest thing in life is to sit back and simply live life.
Exactly.
And we can't live life if we're sick.
Exactly. But in
and
terms
so
of
people
why,
work.
In terms of why the people are doing what they're doing, though, I know the answer to that dilemma is because they. Once they start realizing that all of these alphabet agencies, and the FDA is the most blatant right now as they try to take our supplements away from us under Codex,
right.
And they're fast-tracking all these drugs. Advantia is the latest one, of these type 2 diabetes drugs that they're finding now is causing heart attacks in like 40% of the people taking it, and it turns out the FDA knew about this all along, and they keep on doing it. But the people don't want to believe that all of these agencies that are supposed to be protecting us, that we're paying all this money with our taxes to protect us, that they're doing the exact opposite. Because once you open that can of worms, then you start. You have to go deeper, and you have to say, what else don't I know? What else don't I know? And there's a lot of really ugly things that are happening out there, many of them being perpetrated by our government on the people, crimes against humanity galore, inoculations is my thing, pesticides is yours. But all of these things that they're doing that are hurting us, people don't want to know the truth because it's easier to do nothing and just go along with the program.
And believe that everything's okay.
Right.
I mean, it's like I had a guy come into my office a number of years ago. And he was telling me that he was a Pentecostal preacher. He came in and he said, we need to have the troops dip the bullets in pig blood so the Muslims know they're going to hell when they're shot. And I looked at him. And I said, Pastor, can you really see Jesus on his knees dipping his bullets in pig blood? He got so angry, he stormed out of my office. About 3 years later, he came back and he said, how did you know? I said, you know, I have studied the Quran, the Talmud, the Old and New Testaments. I've studied many things, Dalai Lama, Indian teaching. And everything that I've studied tells me that I have to love people. I have to help people. I have to make it a better place. And if I even deal with people who are not religious, who are simply thoughtful people, they tell me that we have to not walk us in prints on the ground. We have to make it so they don't. It's from cradle to cradle. There's a book I just read. It's Cradle to Cradle, and fantastic. It's a cradle to grave. And they compared the ants, and there are more ants in the entire world than there are people. I mean, I'm not talking numbers, I'm talking sheer weight. Mm-hmm. If you could weigh all the ants and weigh all the people, there'd be more ant weight than there is people weight.
Wow.
And in spite of the fact that there are so many ants, and they are such voracious little fighters, they still have levels that they live in a jungle. They have treetops, and some in the middle, and some on the floor. Some underground. And after being here longer than man, they've caused absolutely no waste products. They've caused nothing but benefit to the world. And we, in a few hundred years, have managed to contaminate everything that has life, breath. Everything that's alive has contaminant in it. We have changed the complexity of the world. We've polluted it. We've done all these terrible things. We have cemeteries and we have huge waste dumps, toxic waste landfills, all of the stuff we've done. We leave this trail of destruction behind us.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be like the ants and not make this terrible mess for somebody to clean up after us. And that's what Chief Seattle taught. He said, we're not, man's not the web, we're just a strand on it. And we can't destroy things like we're destroying. We can't kill all these things. Everything, it's like, because I'm on an organic farm and I'm out beyond the city, I have deer in my yard, and they just had a fawn. The other night I got out, walked outside and looked at the fawn, and it was just, you know, I could have, you know, easily caught it if I wanted to. It was that close.
Uh-huh.
I just looked at it. And we have all kinds of birds. I feed them year-round, thousands of birds in the yard. And I have things that I can't feed, like herons and raptors and ducks and geese and all kinds of things flying around. And I look at all this and I think, they're here because I'm not polluting.
Exactly.
I'm not spraying poison.
Mm-hmm.
And people were out there by my ponds and they said, how come we're not getting bit? I said, do you notice what's flying above the water? What? I said, look over there. And they said, I don't see what you see. I said, well, that's the problem. But if you look a little closer, I think you'll see some dragonflies. And I said, what the dragonflies are doing is every mosquito that comes hatched out of that water, they're eating it.
Uh-huh.
So it can't get to you and I.
Right.
So they're our allies. And we're not going to kill them with pesticides. We're going to let them do their job. And all of this blend, that this harmony that's around me, is balanced not because of what I've done, it's because of what I didn't do.
Exactly.
And people who swear to me they've never eaten a tomato they liked will sit by my garden, and I said, try one. Just try one. Humor me. And they'll sit there for hours eating tomatoes. And they said, why do your tomatoes taste different? I said, because they're full of life. The soil that you've seen and the soil that they grew your tomatoes were dead. Dead with synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, and there was no life in it. There was no chelation. There were no minerals. This is full of life. If you look under a microscope, it's full of life. And I said, that's what we are. We need life.
Yeah.
And the living things that are out there, the organic food that people can grow and harmonize with and not pollute. It's just the same thing. It's just, you know, I've washed my hands with cold water for like 45 years, maybe 50 now, because I didn't want to waste the energy to heat the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people say, you can afford to get the warm water. I said, that's not what I'm doing. I can afford to do anything I want to do, but that's not the point.
Right.
You can't make this great big hole in the ground where you came and say, look what I did. I made this thing. Look at all the toys I left behind. And it's all been a waste. It's all been this whole craziness where we don't learn to play well together. We don't learn to share. We learn to steal and take more and lie and convince ourselves that lies are truth and truth is bullshit. And when they attack somebody like Cindy Sheehan, who's trying to do nothing but stop a war that she doesn't believe in, instead of saying terrible things about her, understand there's only a few people that go down in the arena. Most of people are spectators.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, because you've been
yeah.
in the arena.
Yes, I have.
And I have a statement on my wall that says, I'm a warrior. I've been wounded. I'm in the arena. I'll lay me down. I'll bleed a while. And I'll get up and fight again.
That's
as long
beautiful.
As there's breath. As long as there's breath, we fight.
Yes.
And you don't count the cost because there's too many people dying.
Exactly.
We got to stop that.
Well, we're two peas in a pod, and you just gave me the chills when you said that because I totally relate to what you're saying. And like you, I sleep very well at night. And like you, I know that whatever number of days I have left on this earth, when I go, I will know that I did the best that I could to help my fellow human being. And what more important thing is there than that? And people have to realize that this is truly a spiritual war. That's how I look at it. We're spiritual warriors because the people who are doing the wrong thing knowingly that have sold their conscience for cash, they know very well what they're doing, and they continue to do it, and that is evil. And
very
in my
evil.
Mind, that's what we're fighting. We're fighting evil.
It's
and
darkness.
There's so much of it. Yes.
What we try to do is bring people into the light.
Yes.
And some people don't want to be in the light. It's like I look at them and I say, well, those cockroaches don't like light either. So you sometimes when you're dealing with somebody and you don't realize why you're getting trouble, you have to say, wait a minute, where is this person coming from?
Right.
And so that if they're there to try to create dissension, I had quite a list, and I wrote more about pollution than anyone. And then I began to write about a preemptive war and whether that was legal. And I began to write about all the pollution that was, and all the environmental gains that I worked on for 30, 40 years were being stripped away. And I wrote and said, look, there was a lady, Sine Garber, who wrote a thing about babies. And the guy saw these babies floating in a river, and they'd go out and swim and save the baby. Pretty soon there was a whole city down there collecting these babies and setting up orphanages and health supplies and baby laundries and food and everything else. It became a real business. And somebody said, why don't you go up the river and find out who's throwing the babies in? Now, the point is that when I start pointing out who was causing this, well, then I was a political bum. And I was thrown off the list. And so that was one of the reasons of how they could stop me is by simply saying, he has no right to an opinion. Mm-hmm. And so that in this country today, people have been told they have no right to an opinion, that they can be stopped, searched, incarcerated, called a terrorist, and they don't have habeas corpus. Soldiers don't have the Geneva Convention. We can throw away the Constitution. We can throw away everything. We can do whatever we want. We can declare ourselves whatever we want. When the public says we've had enough war, we can increase the war. We can insurge and do all that stuff. And people say, wait a minute. I said, look, it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with something that we need to address. It's not getting better over there. It's getting worse. And I said to them, look, you know how America got rid of England? It practiced random acts of terror. We didn't play fair. We didn't have our guys dressed in blue uniforms and they had red uniforms and we'd shoot each other until we finally, you know, wipe one side out or the other. We had guys that looked like farmers and all of a sudden, within a minute, they would be out there shooting the British and the next minute they were back farming. And the British had a choice, kill everybody that's an American or leave. And it's the same with this.
Wow.
You either have to kill every one of those people or leave.
Exactly.
It's like a bald-faced hornet nest. It's about 20, 30 feet up in the air. The hornets come from the top, above that, the land, into the hole. They don't come from the ground up. You'll never get bit by it unless you throw something at it. It doesn't harm anybody. And I've had schools say, Steve, we want you to kill that. I said, you want me to kill the good ones or the bad ones? Well, can you kill just the bad ones? I said, no. Got to kill everything. You want me to destroy that whole colony? Yep. And I know that if you're going to fight a war where you do bad things and rape people and kill people and incarcerate people and torture people, they're going to get mad.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make nice with us. And the only way we can make nice with somebody is to stop hurting them. So I won't hurt anybody. I don't hate the president. I don't hate anybody. But I tell them, you got to play nice, guys. Because this is war. It's not making it a better world. And the war that we fight, whether it's against the Iraqis or terror or drugs or whatever, or against pests, we're losing. And I start out with the same thing. You cannot fight a protracted war and help the country. It's going to go down the tube. You can't do that. We've been in Iraq now longer than World War II. We could have taken $500 billion and let every kid in this country get a doctorate. We could have had everybody with health care. And I mean by that, glasses and everything else they needed. That everybody could have a choice, and we could have sat back and repaired the infrastructure. We could have seen to it that people would have jobs.
Yeah.
But instead of that, we just bombed the hell out of some public. And I think, please, guys, don't do this. Don't. You know, the thing that bothered me when I travel around the world, and they usually, when this first began, they would tell me about Bush. But did you see the Miss USA? And they booed her in Mexico because she's an American?
No. Wow.
We are beginning to be hated.
Yeah.
That's not good. And we have now got to the point that I want your audience, I know we started with pesticides, but I want them to see something. We have wasted our troops to the point they can't hardly stand anymore. They're going to go to 200,000 before Christmas. We have no equipment. When the tornadoes hit Kansas, we had no way of helping them. The trash is still on the ground. Same as Katrina. And if we got invaded by Canada tomorrow, we couldn't fight them. In World War II, we could convert the car plants into Jeep and tank production. We produced airplanes and the equipment we needed for war. Today, we'd have to hire it done by China or Brazil.
Yes.
We haven't got any plants.
Exactly.
And I said, did you guys notice this, guys, that you didn't pay any attention? But just, we are really running out of time and space, and we need to stop the war, and we need to help one another, we need to grow crops. We have to, with the limiting amount of water and resources, limited amount of soil and contamination and all that, we got to produce 2 or 3 times more food in the next 40 years. And they're talking about there won't be any seafood in 40 years.
Yeah.
And so that the people are saying there's going to be hundreds of millions of people starving to death. And we used to keep 3 years' supply of grain in America. We don't keep that anymore. When this thing goes down, people are listening to me, are going to run to the store, and there won't be anything there.
Exactly.
How are they going to eat? Where are they going to live? That's why we have to be nice with people. We have to share with people and love one another.
Yes.
Care for one another.
That's when people are going to be shooting each other over a can of beans. And that gets into another whole topic of disaster preparedness and getting yourself a year or two supply of food for whatever happens is going to happen. Because just like Steve said, it's coming down the pike. People do hate us. And that is the reason that it's so important for us to shine a light on these roaches that are causing this to happen with all their conflicts of interest. As Halliburton stock continues to skyrocket, as they're rebuilding Iraq so that they can bomb it again and then keep rebuilding it, what a joke. How can you have a war to bring peace to a country that we should have never been in the first place? And I could speak for days on this subject because that really hits the nerve. But we're running out of time, Steve. I want to just thank you so much for being on the show.
Let me give you one last thing. www.thebestcontrol2.com.
Yes, and I want you to know that I send that website to all my clients. It's part of my protocol. And actually, I have a new webmaster. I'm going to ask for that to be put on my website as a link because that is definitely one of the most important words that we can share with people is to stop making themselves sick with these toxic pesticides. So
you're one of my heroes.
Keep up the good work, and together we will all overcome this insanity.
Amen.
Have a great night,
and do
good things in Belgium, and tell those people over there. You know, some of us still have our minds working. It's not us. You know, it's not the people. We want to get rid of these rats as well.
Good.
Maybe you can use some of your techniques on the people in Washington.
I love you, kid. Take care.
Okay. Same here.
Bye-bye.
Steve. Good night. Bye.